Well, names are important. Today, parents just pick a name. You know, it's a name that's popular. It's a name they like. Occasionally a family name. In the Old Testament, the names meant something specific, and they were indication of the personality of the person. Jacob is called supplanter, which is a deceiver, because he deceived Esau over the birthright that belonged to Esau as the firstborn. Eve means mother of living. Abram means exalted father, makes him important in the government. His name was changed to Abraham, which means father of multitudes, and the names were always significant. Isaac means laughter, because when his elderly mother found out she would carry a child, she laughed, and he carried that name, Isaac, all his life, his mother's laughter. So every name had some. Ichabod meant the glory of the Lord is departed. Let you scope that out in your research. My name is Rebecca. It's just a family name. My grandmother, my great-grandmother, and my great-great-grandmother were always Rebeccas. My grandmother was Letty Rebecca, and my great-grandmother was Callie Rebecca. Neither one called Rebecca, and my great-great-grandmother is listed in the U.S. Census as Rebecca, and we don't know if that's what she was called or not. She was way past turn of the century, you know, way back. But it's not a name of power, a name of significance. Now, your name is completely and fully you. It will do everything that you can do. And when Suzanne carries our name in ministry, anything I can do, she can do through my name. My name recognizes the sum total of my ability. Now, if I say, you go to the governor's mansion, you tell them Becky sent you. And this isn't going to work because I don't have authority there. I don't have any power there. I don't have any expertise there. Your name carries everything that you are. Now, the name of Jesus carries the sum total of the resources of heaven. And we say in Jesus' name, we're tapping into all that heaven is and bringing it into our life or the life of someone else. In Jesus' name. Now, you can try a lot of things in my name and you'll meet with failure. I don't have influence at any companies in town. I can't tell you, you go down to that furniture store and tell them Becky sent you. But when I say in Jesus' name, it vibrates the life that I'm sending it to, or the prayer that I'm praying, the disease that's being eliminated, the devil that's going. The name of Jesus works in many, many different arenas. We talked about the prayer of faith will save the sick, but prayer is always prayed to the Father in Jesus' name. Now, I've heard prayer prayed other ways, but I'm just here to tell you it doesn't work that way. Jesus said we pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and he said, hitherto have you asked nothing. In other words, you've never done it this way before. Now, there's a reason for that. The death and resurrection of Jesus that conquered Satan is what raised his name to the power over every principality, power, might, and dominion. And so hitherto means after I'm raised from the dead, after I died, after I'm raised from the dead, after I'm ascended to heaven and my blood's on the altar, then my name will carry my power. And he said, I'm giving you authority to use my name. Now in Matthew 28, which is the Great Commission, he says, all authority is given unto me. When did he get all authority? He got it after his resurrection. He didn't come to earth with all authority. It's very clear, and we'll read those scriptures in Philippians 2. It said he laid aside his mighty power and glory. He came to earth to function as God who became man. And as God who became man, he was baptized in the Holy Ghost when he was baptized of John. And the power of the Holy Ghost came upon him, the scriptures, and remained. So he needed that power in order to function. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. If he'd come with the power that was in heaven, he wouldn't have needed to be anointed. He laid that aside. So when he says, the works that I do, shall you do also, you can do that. You do it in his name, and he always responds to his name. I know if you have little kids or little grandkids, sometimes you'd like to hide, you know. Mama, 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 mama. Especially if it's 3 a.m. Have you ever tried that? Joel, who's a case of his own, decided to turn the overhead fan off without getting out of bed. He's going to do it with his toe. And so he got hung from his toe, and he's dangling from the fan, which, as God would have it, remained in the ceiling. Now he's calling. He didn't call me because he knows I'm no help there. He said, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And Wayne rescued him. And when I say in Jesus' name, he comes. He answers his name, and his name carries the full power and the benefit of heaven. Every resource of heaven is available to you in his name. Now, if you go down to the bank, what size house would you like to buy? Let's just buy a big one. Let's buy a $1 million mansion. Let's say you can finance that. All they want from you is your name. Your name says, I will pay every payment. Now, if you miss a payment, you don't make a payment. They'll take your house. They don't want you. They don't need you. They have your name, and your name gives them the right to take the house. Everything you own is in your name. See, what happens is we get religiously brainwashed. It's today the experts are calling it cultural religion. That's a great, great term. We're doing what we were told to do, what we've always done, what the church has always done. We do that in a large measure. And sometimes we don't have a clue what's happening there, why that's happening. But when you say in Jesus' name, he said, all authority, Matthew 20, is given unto me. After his resurrection, he had all authority. Now, if you look at Revelation 1, it says, he said himself, I have the key of death and hell. I have the key. The person with the key is the person with authority, the person who's in charge. He says, I have the key. Now, Suzanne has my key, and she has the code because we have a very secure house. You will not sneak up on me. And she can, in my name, with the key that I gave her, open up the house, whether I'm there or not. She can work in the office, whether I'm there or not. She has my name, and I gave her the key. And Jesus has given us the key. He said, just tell the Father, look at John 16, and let's look at that. Just tell the Father, in Jesus' name. In other words, I'm telling God, Jesus sent me. John 16, verse 23. In this day you shall ask me nothing. Now that's real important if you're making a request. You can talk to Jesus all you want. You can shout hallelujah, jump up and down. But if you go to pray for something, you say, Father, I come in Jesus' name. Because that's the way the Bible says to do it. In that day you ask me nothing. See, everything the disciples had, they asked Jesus for, and he had provided. And now he's going to go away, and he's trying to tell him, I'm not going to be here. But if you go to the Father in my name, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Even the Father honors the power and authority of the name of his Son. That's amazing, isn't it? See, we say in Jesus' name because that's the way you do it. And a lot of times, we're not on a strong foundation because we didn't have enough understanding. And I'm giving you understanding today that's very, very important to your answer. Now he goes on to say, verse 24, hitherto means up to this time. In other words, we've never done it this way before. He's telling the disciples, this is not... You don't see in Jesus' name in the Lord's Prayer. It says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's no in Jesus' name there, in the beginning or the end. I did a men's deal. They asked me to come and do that, which I was wondering why they would ask me. But anyway, I went. Wayne and I went. And when I got through and they told me, don't mention the Holy Ghost. Don't mention speaking in tongues. I prayed about it and I thought, okay, I can do that. So I talked to them about the authority of heaven. It worked out really well. But at the end, I said, Father, we come to pray for these gentlemen in Jesus' name. So some man must have been sound asleep. And he comes to me and he said, your prayer is not going to work because you didn't say in Jesus' name. I didn't say anything because I'm a nice person, but I wanted to say, and you weren't listening. Because I never forget the name. The name is greater than poisons. It's greater than insect bites. It's greater than the things you would stumble over. Now, years ago, we were out of town. The children were with us, and Suzanne ordered, we went to this restaurant, and Suzanne ordered rice and some other things, and She kept saying, "This rice really tastes funny." And she said it so many times, she said, "I can't tell. Suzanne's a great cook, and she did most of the cooking. I did most of the cleaning of the kitchen," which I really appreciate, Lord. Thank you for that. And so I said, "Well, just give me a bite." And the minute I took it, I realized it's soured. So we sent word to the kitchen that the rice was soured. They came and took the plate, took off the kitchen, and said, this is true. This is the truth. Don't faint. We've reduced your bill by 25 cents. Well, she had already eaten part of it. So what we did, we said, "Lord, we sanctified this meal before we prayed. We came in Jesus' name to sanctify this food, and this food is kosher no matter what is in it." Amen. And she didn't get sick at all. So we came in Jesus' name to claim our right. Now, if you don't pray over a meal, you don't have that right. Wow. Sorry. So you better speak up. That's just a hint. Hitherto, we've never done it this way before, but because Jesus' name has the value of heaven, it has all the resources of heaven. Everything you need is in that name. Everything. And he answers his name. Now, I know there's been time you didn't want to answer your name, right? But here we are. Hitherto, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive. Doesn't say you might receive, you could receive. I hope you'll receive. Give it a shot. It might work for you. It says, ask, you shall receive. But the asking is in his name. And the name gives you the power and authority. The name puts you in touch with all the resources of heaven. All that Jesus has done. Everything that heaven provides comes to you when you ask in Jesus' name. And it's so very important that we honor that name. Now, Matthew 28, he says, all authority is given unto me. All. You see that word all? All power is given unto me, which is the word authority. It's interesting in the Greek, the word, several different words, totally different meanings, are translated power. The word dunamis, which is dynamic, explosive power, is translated power. This word, which has to do with authority, is translated power. The word that has to do with being strength and mighty is also translated power. So you have to know what you're looking at. Now, when you're looking at authority, did you watch the program that used to come on where they would hide the head of a company in the company? See, he had authority, but a lot of times he didn't have ability. Dunamis is ability. And they would hide him there. Well, one we watched, they were, it was like an Amazon type thing, but it wasn't Amazon, but they were loading boxes and the order would come and you had to take it off and the conveyor belt kept moving and you had to catch the conveyor belt and get everything in that box while the conveyor belt was moving. Well, they put the boss there. They wanted the boss, the CEO, to see what was happening in the company. And finally, the boss was a middle failure and they stopped the conveyor belt, which was against the rules because they got so far behind. And the man who was training him said, "Sir, you really need to get you another job." He had authority. He did not have ability. Now, I don't have to have the ability because I have the authority. Yes. And Jesus comes to answer his name and he has the ability. Yes. He's all authority is given to me. All authority. Heaven and earth. That's pretty. There's nothing left out there. All authority. Heaven and earth. All authority. Now, my little grandmother was she might have been 5 foot on a good day, you know, when she was standing tall. Her mother, who was also a Rebecca, was very, very tall, and standing by my grandmother, which would have been her daughter, she looked 6 foot. Now, I expect she was 5'9", 5'10". I don't think she was 6 foot, but we don't know that. But she was very, very tall. See, it doesn't matter how short you are. When I say in Jesus' name, he comes with his height to rescue. You don't have to be tall. You don't have to be smart. Isn't that good news? Don't we want to think about that a minute? All authority. He said, go ye therefore. In other words, I have the authority and I'm giving you the authority to use my name and to go make disciples. He said, you go in my name. Now look at Ephesians 1. The last years of my grandmother's life, she weighed 60-something pounds. That's how small she was. Heredity is sometimes against you. Have you noticed that? Ephesians 1:16, this is a prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. Verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? The Father of glory. The Father of glory. The Father of magnificence. The Father of ability. The Father of authority. He said, I have authority. Use my name and my authority goes into your hands. And I'll answer your cry with my name and bring you my ability in response to the authority that you stood for. He said, the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation. Revelation is when what you don't know is told you. When you have an unveiling, you think, ah, that's it, isn't it? I didn't realize that. Has that ever happened to you? I found out if you stick with the Holy Ghost, He knows everything. He knows what should be for dinner. And a lot of times I don't know. I just don't know. Now I open the refrigerator and I look and then I close it. And then Wayne comes and looks and he closes it. You know what we always have in an emergency when nobody is inspired of the Spirit. Write that down. Inspired of the Spirit to cook. That's very important. Works for me every time. Well, in an emergency, we always have hot dogs. And so occasionally we make chili dogs. And sometimes we have sliders. That's our backup. When you have the name of Jesus, you do not need a backup plan. You do not need plan two or plan B. Jesus will inspire you by the Spirit, give you through the Scripture plan A, and if you stand for plan A in Jesus' name, it comes to pass. Now, faith and patience inherits the promises. And as much as I'd like to tell you, it'll come today. I was thinking about John Osteen. We were talking about him Monday night. His famous sermon was Saturday's Coming. And what he did was talk about the request that you made and you having to wait till the end of the week, till Saturday, for that request to be answered. But he said, you should always remember Saturday's coming. It is coming. It is coming. God said, whatever you desire in my name, believe you receive. Believe. The minute you pray, right there, I believe I have that. It's according to the word. He said, and you shall have it. Shall means it doesn't always come the instant you pray. But there isn't a chance on God's green earth, unless what you've prayed for is illegal, immoral, or really dumb, that God is not going to answer His name. It doesn't happen. Now, we can be on the wrong ground. This daughter's, her mother was very ill, and she went to the pastor after church, and she said, Mother's not healed, and they're going to do this surgery. Now, in decades past, surgery was very risky. Some traditional surgeries today were very risky, and she told him, you know, and he said he knew that. And she said, Mother is the best Christian in this church. And he said, when he told the story, that was the truth. He said, the girl did not lie. So he said, I've never seen a finer Christian in my life. But you're not healed based on how well you do the Scripture. You're not healed on how many times you attended church or how many hours of prayer or how many Scriptures you memorized. That will not heal you. You're healed because of the name. Because you have the name. Well, we want revelation, so we've got to have some unveiling here, and that's what that means. In the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding enlightened. When the eyes are enlightened, that means the light comes on. The entrance of His word gives light. That means you see what you didn't see. One of these words means to uncover. It's like having a pot with a lid. Now, you probably don't know the rules of Christianity like I do, but you don't cook on Sunday. You realize that, right? Well, so Mother cook on Saturday. And then part of the time, Daddy was on a staff that's about an hour away, and she would carry that pot. We had a little place they provided for us to stay all day Sunday to do two services. And when she turned the stove on, you began to smell. You know, you might not have seen her cook it, but you begin to go, You begin to just... But what you really want to do You want to lift the lid and see what it is. And that's what these words mean. There's going to be revelation and enlightenment. The light is going to come on because God is going to lift the lid on your misunderstanding and give you the right answer.
Amen.
It's a wonderful prayer. God, would you just mind lift the lid here? I don't see. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. That means if any lack wisdom, God will lift the lid. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
That you may know the hope of your calling, the inheritance of the saints, and the one we're getting to, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward. Now this word power is the word dunamis. The other word power has to do with authority. Dunamis always has to do with ability. He's going to show you and teach you his great ability. And it says the exceeding greatness of his ability. Now, when we read Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. It's the word dunamis. After the Holy Ghost comes upon you, when the Holy Ghost comes, you have access in the name of Jesus to the ability, the power. It means the explosive power of heaven. Now, don't get confused that you have to feel everything because we walk by faith and not by sight. I've done a lot of things and people come with a glorious report. I didn't feel anything. You don't have to feel anything or have any anointing that you can recognize to lay hands on the sick. It says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When you lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name, everything you do in Jesus' name as his representative with access to his power through his name, you lay hands on the sick. If you feel something, congratulations. You don't feel something, you go right on. A lot of times we yield to somebody that we know, that we can see there's anointing there and we don't want anybody but them. And you make a mistake when you ignore somebody of faith and choose somebody with ability that may or not be in faith. You understand that? Okay. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. What does the power come to? Not people with knowledge. People with knowledge who believe what they know. To usward who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which is the word strength or vigor. King James didn't do us any favors in the word power. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He's talking about the dunamis, the dynamic power of God that reached down to where Christ paid for our sins, pulled him up and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That was the strongest that God's power had ever had to be. Stronger than walking down the mall, knocking down the walls of Jericho. Stronger than rescuing King Josaphat and the people with singers. You know, that's a pretty big deal. Let's send the choir out to kill the enemy.
Yeah.
That's kind of a... But he said this is the strength. And what he wants you to know is understand the strength of the power that's going to rescue you, that's available to you, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. When was the power available? When he raised him from the dead. Because he came without power. And set him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above, barely above, sort of above. All principality power. See, that's what happened to the devil. He decided he'd sit on the mountain side of the north. And guess who else was sitting there? God himself. He tried to elevate himself. But here's the good news. It doesn't matter what you think of yourself, how much you've read, how much success you've had in other things. It's not you. It's the power in you. It's God working through you.
Amen.
Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. Now, that's the sum total of everything that's against you. We could go through those words. It won't help us. And every name, far above every name that is named. If it has a name, the name of Jesus has greater ability.
Amen.
His name is greater than any other than every name that is named.
Yes.
And everything has a name. Mm-hmm. Even if what you thought of it, you wanted to call it your own name, like, that's the biggest mess I've ever seen. It's far above everything that's named. The power you have available to you in the name of Jesus is far above. Not barely above, sort of above, almost above. And it doesn't depend upon you. It doesn't depend upon the ability works from heaven through you because you believe. So I didn't feel anything. Big deal. I like feelings. I love to feel things. when we were in Moscow, it's the only time it's ever happened. We were in Moscow doing a Bible study, doing a Bible school, which we like to do. And so we had been there all week, and this couple came with the Kleenex. And they wanted, their son was very sick, he couldn't come, and they had come. They had heard about my coming, the Bible school, and they came with a Kleenex. And they want me to lay hands on the Kleenex. Well, you can lay hands till Jesus comes, but the Kleenex does not it doesn't absorb the anointing. It just won't happen. So she had on a scarf, because all Russians wear a scarf. And I said, can I lay hands on your scarf? If you take it home, could you lay that on your son's body? Would he let you do that? And she said, oh, yes. So she handed me the scarf, and I took hold of the scarf, and the interpreter took hold of the scarf on the other end. And when I put my hand on that scarf, it went, and knocked her over, almost knocked her over. I felt it. She felt it. They felt it. Never happened before. Never happened again. And yet people are still healed when you lay hands on them, because you go in faith. You go in depending on the King of Glory. You go and depend upon Him whose name is above every name, whose power doesn't depend upon anything but your belief. Well, okay. Far above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Well, I'm not too worried about the world to come. What we need is power right now in this world. Well, do you know it's available? Do you know it was available after the resurrection? Do you know for over 2,000 years we could have walked in power? Now, in seasons, ministers walked in great power, and then that season seemed to close, and later there was some. People were healed in the ministry of Catherine Kuhlman on the bus going to the meeting. It's one of the most phenomenal moves of the power of God. And this little man, his neighbor wanted to come, and he asked, he was a scientist, and she asked him, would he take her? And so he's just being nice, and so he took her to the meeting, and she was healed. They were in the balcony, and she was healed. And Catherine Kuhlman called for testimony, and she went down to give her testimony. Well, he went down with her because he didn't want to lose track of where she was, because he knew that, you know, he had to drive her home. So he's just standing there waiting on her, and Catherine Kuhlman turned right in his face and said, and what happened to you? Well, he was just the chauffeur. He said, well, I came, I was deaf in my left ear, and now I hear. So Jesus has healed you. Oh, no, he said, I don't believe in that Jesus. It wasn't Jesus at all. Who believes that? I don't believe that. And she said, but you were deaf, and now you hear. He said, yes. So it might have been Jesus. No, he said, I'm a scientist. It definitely wasn't Jesus. Scientists cannot embrace Jesus. There's no faith there. Did you notice that? How to get healed? It was a gift. God gives gifts. And sometimes only God knows why He did it. And I'm free to say, we don't know, God didn't say. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord. But you wait on a gift, it may not come for you. See, when people say, if it be thy will, they're waiting on a gift that may not come. God already told you, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. He sent His word to heal you, and no weapon formed against you prosperous. I come in Jesus' name, Father, to receive the healing that was paid for at Calvary. Yes. And the name of Jesus validates that healing for today. You see that? Okay. Philippians 2. See, I think when we say in Jesus' name, we kind of need to know what we're doing rather than saying it because that's what you do, because everybody says that. Philippians 2, verse 6, talking about Jesus being in the form of God. In other words, He was exactly like God. He thought it not robbery. He wasn't stealing anything to be like God, to have the power of God, but said, made Himself of no reputation. The translators say He laid aside His mighty power and glory, or emptied Himself. That's where we know that He was God, but when He came, He was truly God. He wasn't stealing anything from God. He was God, the Son of God, who shared the power of God. But when He came to earth, He made Himself. When you have a reputation, you have it for something you can do. See, if you go and say, have you seen that lady? Oh, you mean the great pianist? The marvelous artist? See, when you hear my name, that's not what you think about. I'm neither. I'm a fairly good bed maker. I can get out all the wrinkles. Okay, He laid it aside, And it says, verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and came obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, which is a therefore to us, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name. When the cross was over and the resurrection had finished and he was raised up and he had ascended to his Father to leave his blood on the altar and come back to earth where he walked for 40 days, it said God gave him, God gave to him, he gave to him a name above every name. And that's what he said to the disciples. Hitherto you've not asked anything in my name. And he'd already told him he's going to be gone. And they said, we'll just go with you. Because they were fairly clueless. I don't know if you read the Gospels, you notice that. He said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. But the name and the power of the name, this is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that we have access to. Now, we may not have it. It varies in strength. Sometimes, particularly ministers, they'll have more anointing, more power than other times. That's all right. Use what comes, because it'll work what doesn't come, because you have the name. You're getting that. Okay. God highly exalted him, gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. How many knees?
Every.
Beings on in heaven, beings on earth, beings under the earth. That's heaven, earth, and hell bows to that name. Bows to the power of that name. Heaven, earth, and hell hears the name of Jesus and bows. Submits. Is that amazing? Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's every tongue. They're going to some people. They're not going to make heaven. But one day they're going to realize they missed it. And they're going to bow because they understand the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the name. One minister said on television, he said, be sure you remember that eternity is a long time. I love that. I think that would win some people. I said, do you realize you're going to be alive for eternity and how long eternity is a long time? It'd work for me. When's the last time you wanted to do something for a long time? If you're even eating, it comes a point you think, whew, I have had enough. Have you ever eaten that much? Let's look at Colossians. You know, any time God repeats something, it's because you need to hear it again and again. And there's this wonderful verse in Colossians chapter 1, if I could even find Colossians. Verses 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father. That's a wonderful stand when you think about the name to start with thanksgiving. Thank God it doesn't depend upon me. That's my first thanksgiving. Thanks God, all I have to do is lay hands on him and believe. Lay hands on him and believe. So I don't feel anything. How many times have I told you this? So what? Now, if somebody's standing there that feels something, you can defer to them. You know. Say, so would you like to lay hands on them, please? And they might come. You could see the great power on them. That's fine, too. Giving thanks to the Father, which made us meet that's able to be partakers of the inheritance. The saints of God, inheritance of the saints of God have an inheritance. You know what is one of the strongest point of your inheritance in Christ? It's the name. It's the name. It's the name. You've inherited the name. You've inherited the name. It's the strong point of your inheritance. Now, Wayne's family had property. Companies have always had property. They've been here since 1850, on at least that's the first official record we have, on the land that we're on, that Wayne has. There's four of the children that shipped. Wayne's daddy separated the land for the four children. And there wasn't a single one that refused anything. See, don't refuse your inheritance. People all the time will say, I really couldn't do that. You know, we started ministry, we started on a dime. And we frequently came down back to that same dime where we didn't have enough money to do anything with. And a minister said this, and I just copied him. It works every time for me. And he said, God, he had a ministry and some big buildings. They were, it had overflowed, and they were making some new buildings. They didn't have quite enough money. He said, God, if you can't put this over, I'm going to close it down. That's not sarcasm. That's, I'm depending on you. I'm depending on you. I'm depending on you. He said, you can't put this over, God. I won't. More than once, I said, God, you can't put this over. And it's amazing. Money came. Okay. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. Strengthened according to his power. Strengthened. Now look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Who hath? It's Jesus. You've been delivered. It's over. You've been delivered. Your account is paid. Your sins are remitted. Your diseases are healed. Your blessings are on file. All you have to do is ask and receive. You've been delivered. Satan has no power or authority over it. See, he even had to trick Eve, which turns out was fairly easy, it seems like. We sing, I've been delivered. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. You know, you can write your own music. I do. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Darkness does not have the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. The darkness of Satan is not powerful. See, we treat sickness and disease and ill fortune and other things as if it was of great strength. But it will never compare. Now look at Acts 3. To the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus does many, many things I just want to read you about in the line of healing. This is Peter and John went to the temple. You remember the gate man who was crippled at the gate called Beautiful, and he asked for alms. He thought that they would give him some money. And verse 6, chapter 3, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. Such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What was it he had?
The name.
He said, I can't give you money, don't have any money, but what I have, I will give you, and I have the name. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Now look at verse 16 of this same chapter. He's preaching to the people that gathered. That's the marvelousness of signs and wonders. When you have great signs and wonders, people come to watch, and when they come to watch, you can give them the full gospel. It's very important that we have signs and wonders, that we don't just sit here and enjoy the word on our own. We've got to have the signs and wonders to reach the lost. And it says Philip in Acts chapter 8, they believed Philip preaching, having seen the signs and wonders which he did. Okay. I'm not over your head, right? Okay. Verse 16. His name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you know. See, they knew that man been there and couldn't walk. The faith which is by him hath given him this, you see that word, perfect soundness? The Voice translation says complete healing. I love that. Given you. All they did was say, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And he said, and he told the people that gathered, it was the name of Jesus. Now, they're going to get arrested for that and for preaching the resurrection. That's in chapter 4. Verse 7. When he set them up in the east, they asked, by what power or by what name have you been, what name have you done this? What power have you done this? Who sent you the power and authorized you to do this? That was their question. What name did you do this in? And don't say family worship center, because a building does not have power. You got that part?
Yes.
It's Jesus. Oh my gosh, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Okay, they ask him. Here's his answer. It is in verse 10. Be it known unto you all. He wants everybody to get this answer. Be it known to you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Jesus does this man stand here before you whole. They made it very clear. We didn't do this. We didn't do this. They said, who authorized you to do this? What name did you do this in? He said, well, it was by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now look back at verse 29:30, same chapter. This is the prayer they prayed, which is very important. Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by. It doesn't say speak your word and stretch forth your hand to heal. It does not say speak the word and heal. It says speak the word by healing. Because when people are healed and signs and wonders come, they will listen to the word. It is the signs and wonders that many people, that capture many people's ears so that they'll hear the word. And then he says, stretch forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. You know what a wonder is? It's something makes you wonder. You think, huh, wow, did you see that? And a sign, they put a sign in front of businesses. It's an indication of the kind of business or who's resident there. So what would a wonder and a sign indicate? That Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is there. You see that? Now the name will do, let's end with Mark 16, I think. The name will do a lot of different things, and four things are listed here in 16:17. These signs shall follow, and the better word there is accompany. Don't let follow throw you. We do not want Jesus behind us. We don't care if he's back there, but we want him beside. We want him to accompany. Accompany is a better word here. These signs shall accompany them that believe. What is your part?
Believe.
What is your part?
Believe.
What is your part?
Believe.
In my name they shall cast out devils. You don't have the name, otherwise you have to beg. And he's not leaving when you beg. He knows you don't know. They shall speak with tongues. It's all done because of the name and the power of heaven. There's nothing man can do. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. That's all in the name. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall they might recover, they could recover. They will recover. And who's going to do that? The pastor, the apostle, the evangelist, or them too. But says these signs shall follow what? Them that believe. Do you believe?
Yes.
Lay hands on them.
Yes.
You didn't feel anything?
Do it anyway.
That's it. Do it anyways. Exactly right. Exactly right. So we've got all that. These signs shall follow that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Now, there are people that know a lot about devils. I don't have to be one of them that have great expertise. But I was reading the testimony, and they call this man who has cast out many, many devils. Okay, I've faced a couple of devils in my life, but not many, many. You understand? And so when the devil shows up, I just cast him out anyway. Because it says if I believe, I can. So they call this man, he's an expert. He's gone to heaven now, and he came, and he's ministering to this man that they actually had in a padded cell because he would injure himself. And the man spoke, and the devil has a voice that's different and distinct from the man. You can tell when the man is speaking, when the devil is speaking. He recognized the devil's voice, and the devil said, I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. And the nurse standing there said, just a minute, sir, I'll get you a drink of water. And the minister said, no, we're not getting him a drink of water. Next thing you know, he'll want a hamburger. You don't cater to the devil. He has, he does not have, listen to me, he does not have the authority that you have. He does not have the power that you have.